Hello, everybody. I hope you're all doing really well today. So excited to be here with all of you for the third call in our Creating Awareness module. We've got a practicum today. Before we get to the practicum, I've got just a little couple of housekeeping pieces, and then just a little bit of teaching that I didn't get to around creating awareness, and then we'll move into our practice time. So just first, on the logistics end of things, I just wanted you all to know that I'm going to be taking a little bit of time off for the winter holidays. I hope all of you are taking a little bit of time off too. But just so you kind of know when I'm around and when I'm not around, I'm going to be in the office through Thursday, this Thursday afternoon, the 19th. And then I'm going to be gone, and we're not going to have classes. I'm going to be gone leaving on the 20th, and then I'm going to be back the end of the first week of January. So that means that we don't have any class on the 24th of December or the 31st of December, but then we're back on January 7th, and we're going to be starting our breakthrough questioning module. Yay! It's such a good one. So we'll have a couple of weeks where we won't be hearing each other's voices. Maybe you're ready to take a break from hearing my voice for a couple of weeks. I do talk a lot. But, you know, I hope that you use our 3 weeks off for rest, for rejuvenation. If you've got calls to catch up on, it's a great time to catch up on calls, to listen to, you know, some of the bonus pieces, all of that. The Facebook group will be open. I may even be checking in here and there on the Facebook group, but I just kind of wanted to let you know. If you don't hear from me, I will be away. The other just quick piece I wanted to mention is I know a lot of you have gotten started with your coaching partners, and for those of you that do want to go for the Sacred Depth certification, the coaching partner is an important component of the certification requirements. If you haven't yet gotten started with your coaching partner, you've been assigned, but you haven't been able totally to get it together yet to start having calls, you know, whatever it is, no worries. I know that it takes time sometimes to get things going, and you have plenty of time to do your 18 sessions, but I just wanted to kind of put that little motivation, that little impetus in there. If you haven't gotten started, you know, take the next couple of weeks to start setting up some of your partner calls. All right. So all that being said, I'm really excited for our call today. I always love our practicums. It's when you guys really have more of an opportunity to bring yourselves forward and to practice the skills that we've been learning and to integrate more deeply. There is one aspect of creating awareness that we didn't really discuss over our last two calls, and I wanted to just talk a little bit about it today, because it's another important strategy and way and technique of creating awareness, and it's one that's very powerful. And I like to call it facting or messaging. Sometimes I call it facting, sometimes I call it messaging. It's kind of both. And so what facting or messaging is related to consulting. It has to do with your own expertise, what you have learned from your life's experience from your own life's wisdom, but it's pieces of wisdom that, or facts, that as you listen to your client speaking, you see that they need to know this piece of wisdom, but they're probably not seeing it yet. So it's pieces of wisdom, pieces of awareness that your client likely isn't seeing, but it's in your expertise, and you want them to get the message. So this is, I say it's related to consulting, because in a way it is consulting. You're bringing your expertise forward. But it's different from consulting in the sense of, like, you're not saying, okay, this is the next three steps to lose weight, or, you know, whatever it is, the expertise. But it's more around messages. So, for example, if you've got a client that's talking about a situation that they have with a family member or a friend or whatever it is, and you can hear that there's a lot of anger that this person has, and that anger isn't being expressed, right? That your client just isn't expressing their anger. They're not giving it the expression it needs. But you know from your expertise, from your life wisdom, that anger can get stored in the body, right? That's something that I know from my expertise and my life and work wisdom. Anger, if you don't express anger, it can get stored in your body, and then it kind of can start to create not so good things there. It can fester in the body. And so it's really valuable when there is anger to give permission for it to be expressed, right? So anyway, if you're listening to a client and you see that they're really angry, and maybe they even recognize that they're angry, or maybe they don't, but you're seeing that they're just like, they're not realizing that anger can get stored in the body and that it's vital and powerful to express anger. That's something that you're going to want to create awareness around. That's something that you're going to want to fact or message in order to create awareness, right? And so, you know, you're just going to state it as is. Like, you know, anger can get stored in the body when it's not expressed, and then it can cause havoc in lots of different ways, right? Or you might message, it's really powerful and really freeing to be able to express your anger in healthy ways, right? And then from there, you may lead them into an exercise that helps them express their anger or whatever it is. Now, this, right, I'm sure as you're listening to this, this seems obvious, but what happens for a lot of practitioners is they just make the assumption that the client has the same information or the same awareness or the same facts or the same messages that the coach has, when in fact the client doesn't have that, those messages or those facts, or the client does have those facts, but they actually need, they need to be slowed down and reminded of them, right? So creating awareness in this way through facting or messaging is a way of connecting the dots for clients. It's a way of slowing down what they may already know so that they can take it in more deeply, they can integrate it more. Here's just one other example that I'll give around it. Let's say a client is telling you about a situation where they're being trampled all over. Somebody else is treating them like a doormat. And, you know, through the conversation, you, as you're listening, you really see that this client may have a fear that if they stand up for themselves, that it's going to say something bad about who they are. Right? So you're going to want to create awareness, you know, maybe from your expertise, you've got expertise around this or life experience, wisdom around this. You're going to want to create awareness around this and message around this, right? Like shape the messaging that the client is getting around this. You may say something like, you know, it doesn't make you a bad person if you stand up for yourself. or it doesn't hurt anyone else when you stand up for yourself, right? So this is another way of creating awareness, is being really intentional and really conscious around the messages that you share with your clients based on what you're listening, based on what you see they're not seeing for themselves, and then very intentionally, very consciously connecting the dots for them on some truths that you sense they may want to hear. And again, it's always, right, like the client in the end always knows best, right? They can say, no, that actually doesn't resonate for me, or I don't really believe that, or, right, whatever that is, but you want to be giving those messages. So so that's just another idea and tool and strategy that I want you to have in your toolbox when it comes to creating awareness. It's one that I actually use a lot, you know, it probably comes up in every single session that I have with clients. Okay, so we're going to take that along with all of the other ways that we looked at creating awareness over the last couple of weeks into our practice today. And so just as a reminder, I'll just do a quick review of the different ways that, you know, the different strategies we looked at when it comes to creating awareness, right? So we looked at reflecting the hard truth. We looked at mirroring. We looked at acknowledging by honoring what is. We looked at acknowledging by celebrating. We looked at, today we looked at facting and messaging, right? And even just, you know, back to reflecting the truth, if you remember, we looked at a number of different ways in there, straight up reflecting the truth, using personal anecdote or story, using questions that reflect the truth. All right. So we're going to bring all of that into our time together today, and this call is going to run very much like our listening practicum. I'm going to ask for a volunteer client, and I'm going to do my best not to coach the client, but to just ask questions so that we can kind of pull, we can listen deeply, right? Creating awareness requires incredible listening skills and practicing our listening skills, listening to the client as well as listening to ourselves and our own hunches. And then from there, you know, I'll open up the space for what are the things that you would like to create awareness around. And for the sake of time today, just so that we can get a lot of shares in and a lot of contributions, you don't necessarily have to practice, you know, like some of the languaging, right? Like I'm, you know, for example, with reflecting hard truths, you know, I'm hearing something that may be a pattern. Would it be okay if I share it, right? So we're not going to like get into those kinds of conversation, but if you want to share a personal anecdote, you can as a way of creating awareness, or just straight up share, like, what is the thing that you, if you were the coach or the practitioner in that session, what is something that you know you would like to create awareness around for the client, whether it's through reflecting that hard truth, facting, messaging, mirroring, honoring what is, celebrating. And, you know, as we already saw in our last practicum, this is a safe space and a loving space. I really want to encourage you to stretch yourself and bring yourself forward and take the risk of sharing what you're thinking and what you're seeing, bringing yourself forward. I will... you know, pull out more of what you're saying. I will give you feedback. Even if I don't 100% see what you're sharing, that doesn't mean what you're sharing is wrong. I'm just one human being, right, with my own filters. And so this isn't about being right or wrong. I will share if I am seeing what you're seeing or if I'm not seeing what you're seeing. And if I'm not, we'll kind of connect back to the volunteer client and see. But it's all for learning. It's all for our growth. It's all for practicing the skill and building the muscle around what are the things we'd like to be creating awareness on, you know, as we listen to clients. Okay, all that being said, who would like to be our first volunteer client? Star 2. I know it takes a lot to be the volunteer client, but you'll get a lot out of it, as you saw in our listening practicum. It's not quite like getting coaching, but a little bit. Get a bit. Okay, great. We've got our first volunteer. Who is this? 5568.
It's Leah Vinay.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi.
Our first courageous volunteer.
Sure. Well, I just want to tell you, because I do have to leave the call by like 11:15 because I have a circle starting. Is that okay?
That's West Coast time. Yeah, you're good.
Okay,
good. So like I said earlier, I'm not going to coach you. I'm going to just try to ask questions so that we have a lot of like fodder and information.
Okay.
For being able to practice creating awareness skills. So, but if this were a session, what is it that you would like support on? What is a situation that you've got going on or an issue that you've got going on that you would like support on?
Okay, something that that I've been looping a lot in my thoughts, and so I know it's something I really need to work out and I would love support with it, is I keep going back to people that I have, something has happened in the relationship that is like caused it to not move forward. And I feel like, sometimes I feel like it's my fault, and sometimes I feel like, no, I need to hold my, who I am and have good, healthy boundaries. So part of me is like, no, I'm doing what I'm supposed to and holding my boundaries from a place of love. That's ultimately what I want to do. But then I doubt myself sometimes and I think, did I do everything I could in this relationship? What could I have done? And I kind of loop into those thoughts. And I would love to understand what the patterns are with these relationships so that I can move on and leave it,
mm-hmm.
allow it to be released,
mm-hmm.
and just to move on forward with healthier relationships.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, good. Let me ask you some more questions. Those are a great start. So when you tell us what kind of relationships you're referring to, and when you say that they're not moving forward, tell us what you mean by that.
Okay, so I'm thinking of a couple relationships, like, you know, I can tell in the beginning of a relationship, I feel like my intuition is kind of like, beware, and I don't always trust those, and I've had one with a woman in my circle who comes to me, very, very intelligent woman, and I really, really highly respect her. And then I feel there's this like manipulation coming from her. And so it's really tricky because I can't accuse and say, but then I have to have boundaries with her. And she keeps coming for more and more from me. And so like, I feel like, okay, I'm helping her. So this is one situation. Another situation is a collaboration with another leader. And first she was in my circle and she went through that whole thing. And I always felt like there was like this like lack of respect. Like intuitively, I feel these things and then I don't trust myself. And then I look back and go, I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this leader said something to me that to me, it showed a lack of respect. And I put up a huge like wall. And
how did you put up a wall? What happened?
How did I put up a wall?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it happened, when it happened, it was in front of 60 people. And I was holding space for this whole room with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to tell her on the side, not in front of all the people, but she has said to me, "You're taking too much time," or something like that. And
she said that in
and
front
it was
of the
kind
whole
of
group or to you?
Not at, no, on the side. In
mm-hmm.
the side.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I know it triggered things in me from patterns. I know that.
Yeah.
And so I there was a wall of like, she's not respecting me, and no, I need to, because what she was saying was not true to me from my perspective. I know from hers it was probably.
Yeah.
And I know that it's not true because I've had people come up to me and say, "Oh my God, those things that you shared," because I do it very intuitively, "were perfect." Because
mm-hmm.
the way I do things is it can trigger a lot of people because a lot of times I don't time things. I'm kind of like, I somehow expand time
mm-hmm.
and it can trigger people.
Yeah.
Because they want more control over it. So I know I have that. I know I do that to people, and so I'm trying to hold, you know, my healthy boundaries and demands respect from love, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And so I told her. Actually, I told her what I said to her. You know, I wouldn't have liked to answer right there in the spot because I take longer to process.
Yeah.
And I just said, "No, this is, it's exactly what it's supposed to be," or something like that. I don't know. And I know I triggered her because I tried to have a conversation with her to work it out. And, she told me that I triggered her because she felt like I was not letting her shine fully. And that triggers her because of her patterns. But we somehow are not able
wall?
To.
What's the wall?
Wall. The demanding the respect. Which I know it has a component of ego and patterns.
What's your definition of putting up a wall? What does that mean?
It's making some, you know, clarifying that you cannot come, you can't manipulate me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So putting
and up a wall. I want to be heard, and if I'm not heard, then I protect myself by not letting them come closer.
And how do you do that? Give us an example of how you protect yourself by not letting them come closer, like practically.
Whew. That's a good question. I know they feel it. I must do it energetically.
Ah, okay. So it's not necessarily an action that you're taking, like cutting them off or distancing like yourself physically or anything like that, but it's more of an energetic cutting off.
In energetic with distancing, probably.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what, if you can tune in a little bit, when you are cutting people off and putting that wall up, what is the voice in your head saying to you?
It's not safe. They're not safe people for me. Be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I'm not coaching right there. There's so many ways I would want to respond here, but I'm just going to pull out. You're doing great. I'm just going to keep on pulling out information. So you mentioned earlier that you are not letting relationships, I forget the word that you used, I should have written them down, but I think you said move forward or progress. Ideally, what would you want in these relationships if they were to move forward and progress? What are you wanting that you're not getting?
I guess a change, which would be control from my end, which I know I can't control people. And so that makes me wonder if I am doing the right thing by not allowing them to move forward, because it can't be healthy.
When you're saying not allowing them to move forward, again, like, tell us what that means. Like, what is moving forward in a relationship?
So it would be, like, to move forward in a healthy way. So energetically, I'm distancing them a little bit. I don't invite them. They want to come into my energy. A lot of people want to come into my energy,
mm-hmm.
Because I – it sounds really hard for you to use this. They want, like, I draw really powerful women towards me,
mm-hmm.
because I think of how I'm, it's because of how I'm being, and I'm starting to learn what I do, because I didn't even know why. And I'm starting to have it reflect to me. So they want to, they, so sometimes it feels like I could be used by people because I draw people to me that are very powerful, and they just want to get around those other people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that, like I said, that manipulation. And so if I feel that, I don't want to continue a relationship with that person. I don't want to cut them off, so to speak. But I want to have it from a distance. Like, I don't invite them into my, you know, kind of closer, because there's only so much time in the day. And I only want, you know, the people closest to me to be ones that I really trust.
Mm-hmm.
Does that explain it? Or
yeah, it does. It does. And so what is it that you really want? Like, why are you bringing this issue forward? What do you really want around it?
I want my thoughts to stop looping about this and to trust myself.
Okay. And why do you, I know this kind of sounds like a silly question, but just humor me, why do you want that? Why do you want to trust yourself and to not have these loops, these thought loops around
it? Because I know that since those thoughts are coming into my head, I know there's still more there that I would like to uncover, so that I can have that awareness that I just am not seeing. That there's,
yeah.
It feels like there's a blind spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I'm going to just jump a little bit here. Let me ask you this question first. This looping and this not trusting yourself, this looping in your thoughts and not trusting yourself, is that unique to relationships where you feel like you're being manipulated or boundaries are crossed, or does that happen in other areas of your life?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back from being, you know, growing up, of course, because, you know, I was always very... how do I say this? My soul was very strong and would not allow me to be who I wasn't, which sounds great, right? But it was very hard growing up like that, because I didn't fit in to my family, to other groups. And so I know when I would try to talk about feelings and stuff with my, you know, like my mother and stuff, they would, you know, tell me I was too sensitive. And so I know, so I know it comes from probably there, I'm guessing.
Because
I remember feeling, having thoughts like, God, why can't I just be like everybody else? Why do I have to keep thinking these other thoughts?
Yeah. So it started at a young age, this questioning yourself,
yes.
And then looping on the thoughts. And it sounds like it shows up in different areas in your life.
Yes.
Yes. share, I don't have a specific question, but just share with us more about like how manipulation, your history with manipulation, others manipulating you, or you manipulating others, anything that you want to share around manipulation.
Okay. So I wasn't even really aware until just more a few years ago of the manipulation that my mother was doing, because she's very sweet and nice, and she wouldn't manipulate with words. It was, well, she did it in a very sneaky way, like with guilt and things. And I kind of saw it, and I saw my younger brother get totally manipulated by her, and I can see how messed up his life is from all that manipulation. So I have done the complete opposite, and it's like, oh, I am going to, I don't buy into those cultural things. I grew up in the Midwest of, you know, being, if you're a good woman, you'll do this, you'll do that. So there's all the conformity.
Mm-hmm.
And let me think. And so I could feel the manipulation around the cultural norms of you have to work hard, you have to do this. And I was, and my soul would be like, no. Like I was like really, but again, it was always a struggle inside of me because my soul is like, no, don't do that. And then everything around me was going with it. And so it was like a struggle constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. And this may sound like an odd question, but I'll just put it out there. Are there any ways in which you manipulate others?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Give us an example or two and what you think about that.
So, well, I knew that it would work really well with my parents because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they used to come out to California to visit every year, and then they stopped traveling. And I got them to come, like, you know, one more time years ago. And I just said, oh, this is because I knew that death was, like, a way to manipulate them. And so I just was like, oh, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's a celebration. You know, you'll never have this opportunity again, la, 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 you know, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I would manipulate them to be together as a you know, as a family and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Good. Anything else, just as we're talking, that you want to share before we open up for creating awareness, like anything else that this conversation has sparked that feels important to share?
You know, I'm thinking about it because I've been married 25 years and I've, you know, raised two children that are adults, and it was really important for me not to put that guilt on my children, to let them be free.
Mm-hmm.
And to really help them to understand that, because I've had a conversation with my son before, and he's like, oh, don't make me feel guilty. And I'm like, what? And it kind of, and I told him, I was like, you know, if I'm sad, you know, those are my feelings. It's not me trying to make you feel guilty, like, you know. And so to be really clear with my children, because I don't want to bring that pattern forward.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. And then just one last question. If you were able to not, you know, do the loop-de-loop on the thought and to trust yourself more, what do you sense would happen with your relationship?
With the relationships that I don't feel safe in, with those or with all relationships?
And, those and in general, so both.
Okay. If I were to trust, I would be able to hold my sovereignty around those relationships and all relationships. And I would I would have more space to create even more powerful relationships where I can really make a difference. And so I wouldn't waste my energy. I would have more energy for creation versus looping.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Good. Good. All right. I think we've got enough material. We'll see. Thank you. And so I'm going to ask everybody, and Leah, you can participate in this as well. I'm going to ask everybody to take a moment and write down at least somewhere between two and five things that as you were listening to this client, and obviously our conversation was all over the place, right? But just from all the information that you gathered, 2 to 5 things that you would really, if you were the practitioner, that you would want to create awareness around. Now, this might be something that the client, you can see, isn't aware of at all yet, right? So it might be a new piece of information that you want to create awareness around, or it might be a piece of information that you can see the client is aware of it, but it's something that feels important to emphasize so that the client can integrate it more deeply or see it more fully or own it more fully or own it, understand it in a new way, right? And any, you know, again, like the creating awareness can run the gamut of a hard truth, you know, that awareness wants to be created around, either because, like I said, she doesn't see it, or she does see it, but she's ready to integrate it more deeply. She's in that moment. So it can be a hard truth. It can be a celebration. It can be an honoring of what is. It can be a facting or a messaging or connecting the dots on a pattern. So what are some things that if you were the practitioner, you would really want to create awareness around? And then I'll start taking shares in a moment, and it's *2 to raise your hand. Give you guys another half minute to write some things down. All right. Anne.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So, as I was listening, something was resonating for me. I grew up with an emotionally manipulative mother who made me responsible for taking care of her feelings. And as I was listening, I was hearing what sounded like there might be a little bit of a collapse between what manipulation is versus the expression of needs in a way that isn't skillful. Does that make sense?
A little bit, but connect the dots. So almost talking to the client, just connect the dots.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit more on that.
Yep. So you've heard the saying, what you resist persists.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like there's a lot of effort to manage fear of manipulation, which is going to automatically shut down opportunities to be vulnerable and connected. Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like you want to connect to people and you want to form close bonds with them, but there's so much fear about what will happen if you let them in and you miss it when they try to manipulate you, and then you're going to be wounded and they're going to be wounded. And so what just keeps coming up for me is this wondering whether there's a place to tease apart the past history of damaging manipulation And being able to listen for what the needs are that people are expressing to you that they have, and then just kind of holding them side by side with your own needs to negotiate where both needs can be met, instead of holding the needs that are being expressed up against a wall to see if you can fit it through the holes that you've allowed. That's kind of the visual that I have.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful. Right? Yeah, good. Okay, good. So there's actually, I think, a couple of pieces that you're creating awareness around in all that you just said. And I wanna pull them out. They all work together, but they're separate pieces in there. So one piece that Anne created awareness around, if you guys caught it as she was speaking, is a little bit of celebrating, acknowledging through celebrating. And what that is that, and I heard it too, that Leah is someone who deeply desires to have deep, healthy, aligned, strong connections and relationships with other people. This may seem like an obvious point, but sometimes in certain situations, in certain client sessions, that's a moment to pause on, because it's actually a big deal and a celebration, and it speaks to a desire and a resource, right? So that's one piece I heard. And I think another piece Anne is creating awareness around, and this would be a hard truth, that I might, if it were an actual coaching session, I would approach in one of the ways that I shared around hard truths, around asking permission. You tread like a little lightly and be open in case you're not getting it right. And you may want to use personal anecdote in it, and did a little bit of that. But it's definitely a harder truth that we want to use all of those skills that I shared around. And that's that. It may be that Leah is a little bit, she obviously has this history of people manipulating her, and we want to honor that, right? So that's another piece, like really wanting to honor that. But also it may be that there's a little bit of a hypervigilance around when she perceives people manipulating her because of that history that has been so hard and impactful for her, right? And so we may just want to open up that awareness next to see if there's anything there around the hypervigilance. And then from there, that third piece that Anne was sharing, so like, if that's true, where is a middle ground or a place of connection where the proper amount of vigilance can be there around the manipulation, so that Leah can stand up for herself and create the boundaries that are required, but maybe not miss the moments of where there can be a deeper understanding and connection, because maybe there's like a misunderstanding there around the manipulation. Am I accurately and kind of describing some of the pieces that you shared?
I think so. The one piece that I just want to kind of draw a finer line around is, and you touched on it with the, maybe there's a misunderstanding about people's intentions or a misunderstanding about how they want to connect. And so I think the other piece I was maybe trying to do is to invite a little bit of a stretch, which of really reframing manipulation as, what if nobody, and I don't think I said it this way, what if nobody's actually intending manipulation? Mm-hmm. What if everyone really wants the same thing you do? What if everyone just really wants to connect deeply and have and be seen and known and have their needs acknowledged on equal footing? What would it be like to hold that side by side without fear that it might mean something else that's old and scary.
Yeah, so creating
and that,
awareness around intentions and look to a deeper exploration around those intentions.
Right, because so many people are really poorly skilled around being aware of their own needs and expressing it to other people. And so sometimes when we're expressing
a need
that we
don't
know.
So that's another piece of creating awareness, right? That's a messaging piece. Some people are poorly skilled around communicating with others. And right, good. Okay, so there's a lot in what you shared, Anne. I know you've got more to say, but there's a lot of great pieces in there. I'm gonna.
That's fine.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Great. All right, let's see who's next. Christine.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so, Leah, for some reason, this is really triggering me. I totally get this experience of growing up as an extreme intuitive in a family that doesn't get it. And so I would first like to start by honoring you in your persistence and your commitment to continue to be open and to utilize your intuitive channels, your abilities, especially as you're bringing them out in service with your clients. The question in terms of trusting yourself, one of the things that keeps coming through on my end is just kind of to set a reminder that the same place, the same source that sends you those intuitive jewels, those gifts that are so helpful for those you serve, is the same place that that intuitive information is coming to you about yourself, about boundaries, and about relationships. And you trust it. I get that you trust it when it's coming through for your clients. And this is about maybe asking, why are you not trusting it when it's coming through in regards to yourself? Because it's coming through from the same place.
Nice. Very nice. So there's two pieces of awareness that Christine just created. First, acknowledging by celebrating Leah, right? And just really celebrating her intuitive talent and her intuitive abilities and the commitment and the resilience to those abilities even when they've tried to be squashed. A beautiful thing to create awareness around for this client, and then that's just a really nice then bridge into or lead into what Christine did next, which would fall into that messaging or facting category of creating awareness, which is drawing the comparison of you use this intuitive ability so beautifully with others, trust the intuition that comes in when it comes to yourself and how you're feeling around the boundaries that are being crossed. Nice. Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome.
Good. All right, I'm going to take this next hand raise, and I want to see some more hand raise. Even if you're not sure, take a risk. Raise your hand. Let's hear what you're hearing. It might be something really important. Well, it is going to be something really important, not might. Anyway, this is 5473. Who is this?
It's Siobhan. Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So I too, I guess, really want to celebrate and honor you for the fact that you were able to, first of all, you have incredible awareness, incredible self-awareness, and also the ability to, or the willingness to speak with that woman, you know, that really, it sounds like hurt you, or certainly made you feel more vulnerable. My head's not real clear today, so try to stay with me. And, you know, kind of crossed the boundary with you, and you were able to, so many people aren't even able to take someone aside and say, listen, I really need to talk to you. That was not okay with me. And I just think that's huge. That's so, so, so important to everything. And then what I really heard here was a lot about you knowing the truth and needing permission somehow to own that. And I agree with everything that's been said in terms of, well, what's really happening here? And I totally get your questioning yourself about that. Like, am I, you know, dead on or whatnot? So I heard a little bit of kind of maybe black and white thinking going on there, and stuff about beliefs in terms of powerful women, and also levels of relationships. Like, not everybody needs to be, and I get that too. I want to be really deep with people, but I really had to learn over the years that there are different levels of relationships with people, and that that's okay. It wasn't okay in my family either, because they didn't have good boundaries, so it was all or nothing. And so that loop, when that starts to happen for me, I know that something else is kicking in there, that's not, it's not about the situation, it's about me beating myself up. That's for me. I don't know if that's for you, but it would be worth exploring for sure. You know, is it okay? Can I trust myself? Can I set those boundaries?
Good. Thank you. So I'm going to pull out from what Siobhan just said, some really nice stuff. So first, again, another piece of creating awareness by acknowledging and celebrating, right? Really acknowledging and celebrating Leah for her ability to set boundaries, for her ability to see, you know, when and how to show up, you know, all of that. So important. And then two pieces of messaging. So one piece of messaging around when we tend to, our thoughts tend to loop in the way that has been kind of frustrating Leah, sometimes it means that there's black and white thinking in there sometimes, right? It means that and we'll do actually, you know, in Sacred Depths, a whole module on black and white thinking and myth of perfection, right? But oftentimes it's the black and white thinking or the myth of perfection that can be creating the looping. So that's a piece of messaging there. And then the other piece that you just kind of like quickly mentioned, Siobhan, but I want to pull out more because I think it could be a profound or brilliant moment for creating awareness through a question. You didn't do this in a question, but you mentioned giving permission to trust yourself, and that could be a way you're reflecting the truth by using a question and bringing in this new concept of giving permission, right? So you might possibly in that moment ask the client, what would it look like to give yourself permission to really trust yourself? Or another alternative question there that would create awareness, reflect that a truth around giving permission might be, what would you have to believe in order to give yourself permission to trust yourself? So lots of great ideas in there. Thank you, Siobhan. Good. Let's see. Morgan.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I'm thinking carefully here, and this is where I would I would probably ask permission to ask some hard questions. I'd like to move forward and really pull from some of the language that Leah was using when she was explaining how she was feeling, and see where that lands when I kind of reframe it for her. And kind of just want to ask, you know, Leah, you were talking about how you put up a wall, and that was really where this started, is, you know, you're finding yourself in these relationships trying to connect with people, but you are quickly putting up walls when you're not getting the respect that you would hope for, and you are being triggered by the fear of manipulation. Is that, or did I hear that right?
Nice. So using that reframing there go ahead. Were you going to say something else?
Yeah, I wanted just to take it one step further and really, you know, because if I did get that right, kind of ask, and Joanna, you had touched on this when you asked, like, hey, you know, do you find yourself sometimes manipulating people also, and, you know, consciously or unconsciously using that as a tool in a way? And I think sometimes people, when there's a fear around something like that, it's also because it's like, oh, is this something I'm doing? Also, like a projection. So, you know, is there a fear of being manipulated because you see manipulation happening elsewhere, and it's kind of a mirror to you? And also, when these people trigger you in that way and you put up a wall, are you putting up a wall because you want to protect yourself? Or are you putting it up because you're resisting something that challenges you? And do you actually want to connect better and more deeply with those people? Or are you putting up that wall because you're like, I don't really know if I even want to connect with you? And have you asked yourself where you really want, how much further you want to go with those people?
Yeah. Nice. Really nice. And some of the places where you just went, Morgan, are definitely places I would go to. But first important, and I know this is out of context of a coaching session, you would probably do it first, most important is to honor, right, and celebrate all the things that have already been celebrated, the intuition and the desire to have aligned boundaries and the desire to connect deeply, like all of those pieces. But yeah, if you then wanted to go from there, and I may have gone there, you're right, some of my questions were leading there, is first I would do a little bit of messaging, which you just did, Morgan. I would talk about it in terms of shadow. Oftentimes when there's a quality that triggers us greatly that we see in someone else, not always, but sometimes it's because there's actually like a golden nugget inside of that quality that we haven't fully owned for ourselves. There's something in there for us, and we're scared of being that thing. For those of you that will be with me at the shadow retreat, we're going to go deep into all of this. So I may message around that and ask if any of that is resonating, because it might not. It's big stuff. And by the way, Leah, thank you for just like being an observer on all this as we speak about you on things that may or may not resonate. But then if it did resonate, then I would go deeper into some other questions. And Morgan, you gave some really nice examples of pathways there. Good.
Thanks.
Yeah, good.
I think I definitely would have started with some honoring and celebrating, but for time's sake, since we had
a
lot of that. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I was just saying to connect those dots for everybody, for sure.
That's great. Yeah. Thanks.
Good. All right, good. So let's pause here. So many great shares. And first, Leah, let me hear from you. I'm going to bring you back here.
if I can find you. Where did you do? Oh, no, I don't remember which number was yours. Leah, can you raise your hand? Star two. Okay, there you go. Hi.
Hi.
So tell us, like, of course that wasn't a coaching session and some of the things may have resonated and some of them may have not, but tell us, like, for you, what are you learning for yourself just from some of the awareness that was created?
Wow. Yes, so much. In fact, I think I'm such a slow integrator. I think when I sit with it, even more is going to come up later, but I'll just share so far what I got. I mean, it was all really good. Thank you, everybody, for just being brave to just step up and do that, because I really, really appreciate it. And thank you for allowing me to be the guinea pig, because this is, so helpful to have so many powerful women helping me. I guess I need to come up with some more terms. One thing that somebody said that was that was so true, and I think it's going to help me integrate it more, was that some people don't have the languaging, and that's why I'm in this program, is I want to learn how to communicate better. And I know that not having the languaging sometimes holds me back and probably would allow me to go further than I have gone. Let me just look also. A lot of the things, you know, you're just talking about the shadow stuff.
I want to pause right there to reflect something that I heard in what you just said, Leah, for you, and also as an example for everyone around creating awareness. What I heard, and tell me if I'm getting this right, there's a lot in what you just said around the languaging. What I also heard is just through this experience that we may have opened up just a little bit more of a pocket of grace, like you having more compassion and grace for other people, even when you feel like they're kind of crossing boundaries with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Okay, good. Keep on going. What else? Give us another example or two or another one or two.
You know, I mean, just experiencing the acknowledgments felt really good, because then I felt like I was heard and seen and understood.
Yeah.
That was really, really helpful. And it just really helped me see how that is so that I can do that more for others, make sure that I'm doing that as well, because I tend to, I'm a truth teller. And maybe sometimes what I do can be a little too hard. And so that created more awareness for me around the acknowledgement part.
The celebration, the acknowledging always, I think, supports the truth telling. It opens the pathway up for it.
Yeah, and then there, somebody, who was that mentioned the middle ground to understand where they're coming from. I definitely, it was good to hear that again, because it's something, yes, I know, and I try to look at that always, but then the language stops me, so that I have to work on that skill. So it was good to hear it again, even though, yes, I know that. And the hypervigilance, the word hypervigilance, it's like, yes, that's it. It's too much. I get it.
Yeah, so that hypervigilance, I very intentionally inserted that word, right? Just to remember, if everybody remembers, they're talking about language as a way of creating awareness, right? So I very purposefully used that language. That's a tool that we can have, like introducing a new concept in through a piece of language. Good.
Okay, and there was another really powerful thing that was said. Who said it? Oh, my gosh. Let's see. And it was about you trust others, but then you don't trust yourself. And
Yeah, Christine.
And again, yes, I kind of know that, but I don't know why. But just to hear it again, it's kind of like, yes, that's what's happening. And so the question of what would I have to believe in order to trust myself would be a really powerful question. for me to look deeper in that.
Yeah. Good, good. I'm so glad that you received so much. And this is such a great example of the power of creating awareness. So thank you for volunteering. And
can I share one more?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was around the shadow part because that was really powerful. And I would definitely have wanted to go further with that because I know about projection and all that. And I've worked with stuff like, you know, defensiveness and control. And so it's like, it really got me thinking, is there a manipulation part in there? So it did create something.
Yeah, good, good. I love it. So even though we weren't coaching, you know, it wasn't a coaching session, right? But just by creating all these awarenesses, there's so many new possibilities opening up for you around this. I think not just around this topic, but in general for you. Beautiful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. So we may have time for one more practice, but before we do, I just want to see open space for any reflections from anyone else around so far what you're learning around creating awareness, what you're seeing, or anything that you have a question on. Star two, what you're taking away so far, what's integrating maybe more deeply for you around creating awareness, what you're seeing, or any questions that you guys have. Who is this? 1029.
Hi, it's April.
Hey, April.
Hi there. A quick thank you to Leah for sharing. It takes me a while to integrate as well as I listen to the process going on, and then I get all really caught up in what everybody's talking about. It's amazing to be a part of the process of listening in and learning so much from everybody in this process. So I wrote down one word, well, one little sentence was trusting herself to receive, and I was just embellishing with my thoughts around it. And I was, what popped into my head had come up a couple times was, very strong women are attracted to me, Leah had said. And then I wondered if, as good as that could feel, like strong women need me, are attracted to me, like want to work with me, but is there, you know, a bit of a fear there that a stronger woman will manipulate me or overcome my emotions or boundaries or whatever the thing is? So that popped into my head, and also that manipulation has been such a key in her youth, and she's also employed manipulation for herself. So, you know, knowing how it works and how it feels, I could easily feel and see where the fear of it is so prominent.
Yeah, yeah, two really nice pieces there. The one I would categorize that as a harder truth, and I would definitely, I definitely think it's worth sharing and testing out and opening up around, but I would definitely use like the asking permission or this may or may not resonate. And I know you weren't doing that because I didn't give those instructions for this call, but just for everybody, I love that, and I do think that's an example of a harder truth that you would put some of the other tools around in a session.
And Ben, I'm just curious, is what do you actually mean about messaging? Is that where you're meaning to use your, an example, when you're referring to this as messaging?
Yeah, so
just
to, like some of the pieces that came up in this discussion that were messaging pieces, number one, and I don't know if you were here from the beginning of the call, April, but I did a little teaching on what messaging is. But in case I wasn't clear enough, I will re-clarify. So messaging or facting is it's a subset of reflecting the truth and consulting in the sense of you're bringing a piece of your own expertise or wisdom that you see can help connect the dots for a client, which they may already know, or you want them to see it more clearly, focus more on it, or they may not even be aware of it at all. So in this conversation, some of the messaging pieces that came up were, for example, when Siobhan said, sometimes I know for me when I'm really looping around my thoughts, it means that there's some black and white thinking going on.
Mm-hmm.
Another example in this conversation around messaging is when I shared, sometimes when we really get triggered by an action or something inside of someone else, it may mean that we've put that part inside of us in shadow, right? So it's like a little fact, mm-hmm. it's a message that may help connect some dots and then get to that next level of awareness. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Brings it. Yes, I must have just phased out on that one bit. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. It's good for clarification. The other thing I wanted to pull out that came up, I think Morgan said it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I haven't emphasized this as we've been looking at creating awareness. I'm going to make notes to add that into the curriculum because this is so important. And I thought I had said it, but I'm not sure that I did, is that reframing, which we looked at a little bit in mirroring, actually. I'll give myself a little credit there, but I just really want to emphasize it. I'm so glad that Morgan brought it up. Reframing what a client has said when you mirror back to them what you've heard is a very powerful and potent strategy for creating awareness, right? So we looked at mirroring. It's when, you know, we've listened to something a client has said and we want to mirror back to them what they've said. Sometimes we will in the mirroring, we're going to reframe. And what that means is that we're going to mirror back what the client said, but we might use just a little bit slightly different language or just like rearrange the order of what they said things or emphasize one thing that they didn't emphasize instead of something else in order to create an awareness that we think may be an important one to come through. And then, of course, with reframing, it's related to reflecting hard truths. We always want to ask afterwards, you know, does that resonate for you or what are you hearing in this that's important for you? So I'm so glad that that concept was brought in to our discussion. Christine.
So I just wanted to share something like from in terms of from being sort of the listener or the coach. When Leah was talking, that whole time that you and her were talking, I got really triggered. And I got really, really angry. Which surprised me. So I found that I needed to kind of create awareness for myself around, you know, and look at some hard truth, because as you kept talking to her and we got deeper into sort of where she really wanted to go, then my anger started to diminish. Mm-hmm. But I also started to really see how her experience mirrors mine.
Yeah, beautiful. So I'm so glad you're bringing forward. I did notice you said that when you first came on with your share. I didn't address it just because it was you moved on to your creating awareness. But I think what you're sharing now, Christine, you know, the way that I, like what I see in what you're sharing is actually a beautiful example of checking our filters
mm-hmm.
as practitioners, right? So you got triggered, but you noticed that you were triggered.
Yeah.
You checked your filters around it. You notice, there's a similar, we're looking through a similar filter here, and that's why, right? And I could feel when you addressed Leah after you said, I'm triggered, right? But when you moved into the actual, like, coaching or, you know, creating awareness part, even though you may still have some pieces to work out there, that you had checked your filter enough to be fully present for the client. Whatever it was that you were creating awareness around was likely coming from, objective isn't the right word, but not from the triggered place.
Mm-hmm.
And always, if you're not 100% sure, if you're being, again, objective isn't the right word, whatever that word is, you can always say at the end of the awareness that you're creating, that may be my filter because I've got some strong feelings around this. So just tell me if any of this is resonating for you. It may not.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually, I wouldn't say to the client, "I'm triggered."
Right. Of course.
but yeah. Right. And it was just kind of coming back to that place, and that's what I do, right? I question and go, okay, you know, is this about me? Because I need to be really clear that, you know, I'm not bringing my filters or my bias into this, and that it's really, it's now what's in the highest for her. And once I moved from the anger and into that love place, then I was able kind of, it's like, okay, where do we need to go? So it was really, it was.
And you could feel the love.
Okay.
Your voice, 100%.
Good, yeah. So uncomfortable initially, but very powerful. So thank you for the opportunity. And Leah, thank you for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, great. Beautiful. So I don't know that we have enough time left for another volunteer, but I feel like we're getting such good conversation and topics for exploration around creating awareness just from the practice that we've already started. So I'd love, you know, just to hear from some more of you. Are there either pieces that you heard in what Leah shared or questions that you have around creating awareness or what you're seeing and learning and taking away around creating awareness or anything else that you want to bring forward for you, even like what Christine just brought forward, you know, in her observation of herself as she was moving through. So any, I'd love to hear another one or two more shares. I know they're out there. Some of you are being quiet, but star two, what else do you want to bring forward? What feels important here for our conversation? Or where are you getting stuck that you'd like some help on? Who is this? 6004.
Hi, it's Suzanne.
Hi.
I didn't raise my hand because I didn't have a pen and paper to write it down, but when Leah was sharing, there was something that she said repeatedly, or I heard it, about like enforcing boundaries, or there was a really strong term that she used before boundaries. And I guess my question is, if you see that with a client, like in terms of creating awareness, it could mean nothing. It could just be the way that they refer to something. But if there's like, if you sense a charge or something mm-hmm. with something they're speaking about, would you ask that as a question?
100%. I'm so glad you're bringing this forward because this is something you could create awareness around and the way that I would do it. And we'll look at this more in our questioning module too. But, you know, the way that I would do it is I would say, you know, as I was listening to you, I noticed that the energy of your voice changed each time you spoke about enforcing a boundary, and it was like what I heard was almost like every time you spoke, you said those words, your voice got X, right? Whatever it is that you observed. Your voice got stronger, your voice got harsher, your voice got louder. I just wanted to point that out because I'm wondering what that might be about for you, or I'm wondering if there's a belief around that for you, or you know, whatever then the question that you want to ask, right? So absolutely, that would be back to reflecting the truth, where it's kind of half observation and then with a follow-up of a question around it afterwards.
Awesome. And the other thing I had, and it was similar to the last person, was about when you feel triggered or you feel your own stuff coming up when the client is sharing. It's like checking that filter. But I think you said about, you know, this might, I can't remember how you phrased it, but you would question that so you give it space because it might not be theirs and more yours.
Absolutely. So there's like an inner process as the practitioner that wants to happen first before you even utter anything, right? And that goes back to all the listening skills that we spoke about. So the first is to be aware of your filter, right? And if you're being triggered by something, there is a filter there. You can bet, I'm willing to say 100%, if you as a practitioner are feeling triggered, there's a filter there. And so then you would become aware of whatever that is. And then from there, move to create the awareness. But if you are
I mean, if it's a hard truth anyway, you're always going to ask, you know, if it resonates, leave open that it could be wrong. But particularly if it was a trigger that you checked, you're going to want to do that just in case, right? Like you're still kind of like halfway in that trigger. And that's okay if you are, so long as you leave open the space to be wrong and use it as a jump, whatever awareness you're creating as a jumping board for a discussion around what is it that is going to pop for the client and resonate for them.
And would you ever, like, if something is come up like that and you had a pen and paper or something handy, like write a note for yourself later to do your own journaling or come back at, like, this is something for me to work through?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like we learn so much about ourselves, and this is why I love teaching coaching in, you know, this, in this way that I'm teaching it to you guys, because obviously you're all here to do deeper work with your clients, but I really see, like, when you do it the right way in the sacred depths philosophy, you can really evolve, right? You can use your coaching to evolve yourself. And if you notice in a session that something has triggered you, absolutely, it's information to start to do some of your own work around it and journal and all of that. And we'll get later on when we get to resistance archetypes and befriending fear, and those of you that will be with me in person for shadow, we look at lots of different ways of handling triggers for clients and handling triggers for ourselves.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Erin.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Wonderful. So what I had written down, so I had echoed some of the stuff said earlier, but what came out for me is this need for really being seen for who she was. So, you know, there was a few things of, you know, not fitting in with the family. Also, when she was talking about the struggles with her son, and expressing her feelings a certain way and being misinterpreted. And, you know, I can see how that could possibly carry over into other aspects of life, of just really wanting to be able to articulate yourself. And when people don't see that from the other side, how it can just sing a little bit more. So there's really this just need for, you know, which we all have, absolutely, of, you know, wanting to be understood and, you know, just be able to be free for who you are and not constantly having to justify those feelings.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing it forward, and 100%. I saw that as well. And what you're talking about here is really acknowledging, you know, honoring what is. And if it were me as a practitioner, I would honor what is, plus also add in a little bit of celebrating in it. And so I may create that awareness that you just shared in a way of, you know, and you said so many of the things that I would say, but to say, like, you know, I just really want to honor that in the household that you grew up in, as well as so many experiences in your life, you got denied the very important experience that all human beings need and want, of being fully seen. And I can see how that really, that not being fully seen, you know, shows up for you now. And of course, it's painful. And then from there, I may add in a celebration part, and I would say, especially for someone, because she spoke a lot about the power of her work, you know, and how she wants to be seen for the power of her work. So I think I would also then back that up with acknowledging by celebrating, and I'd say, especially for someone who is doing such amazing work, of course you want to be seen.
Yeah.
Right? So I'd kind of put those two together. But I'm glad you're bringing that forward. It's a great place for creating awareness in terms of what Leah shared. Beautiful. All right. So hopefully today was really helpful for all of you. Please share more of your takeaways, what you're learning for yourself around creating awareness or anything else in our Facebook group. Thank you for showing up, for all of your energy. There isn't any specific homework between now and when we meet next. It's just continuing, you know, it's a catch-up Like I said earlier, it's just a catch up couple of weeks, catch up on homework, catch up on partner practice, catch up on listening to trainings, and just have a wonderful couple of weeks. I will show up here and there and connect in the Facebook group, and I'm just sending you all a big hug. Have a great rest of your day.
The moderator has left the conference.